The next case, as indicated, is Memer et al. Versus United States, 2021-2133 and 2220. Mr. Stewart, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This case was, in essence, a companion case to the Kaplan case, at least procedurally, although the facts were different. And the end result in Kaplan, I call it Kaplan 2, which is the second opinion from this court, was a clarification of some of the explicit or implicit rulings in Caldwell, Barkley, Illig, and Ladd. And the result was the articulation of a causation standard that applied to rails-to-trails takings cases. I don't think the intent was to create chaos or confusion, but I think that has been the result since Kaplan 2 came down, primarily because of mischaracterizations of the ruling in Kaplan 2 by the government repeatedly. So given all of the pre-existing precedent, including Caldwell Barkley and particularly Ladd, which was confirmed again in Kaplan 2, the application of the causation standard must focus on the railroad's intent to abandon at the time of the need to. And its applicability must, frankly, be limited to rather strange situations such as Hardy, where the STB issues a need to and then, due to an error, revisits or revises the original need to exclude some property. There are basically two issues on this appeal. First, the first issue is, if the causation standard is applied, plaintiffs have easily met their burden to establish causation based on the evidence presented at trial, as Judge Sweeney found. In fact, the facts supporting her finding of causation are overwhelming.
Mr. Stewart, let me ask you, this is Judge Schall. Can you see me?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, all right. In your first brief, you urged us Kaquellen was wrongly decided, but you're not, and I look at your reply brief, however, you're no longer taking that position, correct?
Well, not for purposes of this appeal, Your Honor. You're correct that I represented Ms. Kaquellen. We actually won that on appeal, and we were not in a position to appeal.
Okay.
I do not believe this panel obviously has the ability on its own to overrule Caldwell, Barkley, Illig, and Ladd, just like this panel does not have the ability to overrule Kaplan 2 on its own. And so for purposes of this appeal, the issue is the whether the evidence presented met the causation standard, Your Honor.
Now, on the causation, you basically, where you part company, as I understand it, with the decision of the Court of Federal Claims is, the Court of Federal Claims said, I think, that the temporary categorical taking ended on January 7th of 2014. You feel that it should be carried out till 2021 when the railroad finally completed the abandonment process. And your whole linchpin there, as I understand it, is the regulation, correct, that required the railroad to formally submit consummation of abandonment. Is that correct?
That's part of it, Your Honor, yes. The second issue that I was going to discuss is the duration of the taking, and I think it's definitely true that we believe that the duration of the taking in this case is 10 years. And the reason is it's related to the consummation of abandonment, but the actual reality is that the NITU itself is the governmental act that set in motion all of these events.
But the NITU, but the NITU had expired in, I guess it was November of 2013. And now it seems to me that after 2013 or January 2014, what does or doesn't happen is all in control of the railroad.
The railroad has a conscious decision to make, and that's true in every case, but that's not what results in the duration of the taking. So, for example, once the NITU is issued, the NITU also gives the railroad the right to remove the rails and ties, and prescribes an initial negotiation period for the conclusion that they're going to enter into a trail use agreement. But the fact of the matter is just like 100 years of jurisprudence from the Supreme Court and most recently stated in Cedar Point Nursery and the Mick case, the constitutional taking starts when the need to is issued, but it does not end when the need to expires, because all of the events that took place, including the finding of state law abandonment that Judge Sweeney concluded, occurred during the pendency of the need to. So under these facts, the STB retained jurisdiction at the expense of these landowners. That's the definition of a taking. And it's a matter of fact that the consummation of abandonment requirement allowed the railroad to do that. But that goes to the duration of the taking and not whether a taking occurred.
Well, but duration's obviously important in terms of the overall compensation if it's determined there was a taking. There's a big difference in the compensation between 2013 or 14 and 2021.
It is not actually all that significant, Your Honor, because it's still a temporary taking. But the fact of the matter is that when the governmental act takes place, it blocked the plaintiff's reversionary interest. And the need to was, frankly, the only legal block to putting the land to productive use. So here what you have is a situation where, unlike the facts of Kaplan, the railroad basically admitted, they first filed their application for abandonment. They stated to the world that they had no further use for this as an ongoing railroad operation. They said there were no shippers. In fact, there had been no shippers since 2004. And so they sought permission to abandon it. And in this particular case, the STB granted their permission to abandon it even before the need to was issued, and then they reiterated that permission to abandon when the need to was issued. So the need to caused the ultimate blocking of the reversionary interest. And that continued. It didn't expire when the need to expired. So here, what you have is a situation where the railroad had a choice to make, but they always have a choice to make. If they enter into a trail use agreement, it is a permanent taking. If they had then decided to consummate abandonment, it would have been a temporary taking. But what the government is really trying to do here is limit takings law to those two options or possibilities after the need to is issued. One is the execution of the trail use agreement, and one's the consummation of abandonment. But that doesn't cover all the possible options that can occur once the need to is issued. So, for example,
counsel,
in this particular case...
Counsel, this is Judge Reno. If one of the main characteristics of a need to is that it mandates and prevents the revision of the state's interest, why is it that that particular mandate or stopping the revision of state interest does it also expire when the need to expires?
Because it allows the need to do several things. It's just like the recent opinions from the Supreme Court in both Cedar Point Nursery and the Nick case. Here, the taking starts when the plaintiff's reversionary interests are blocked. But the effects of the need to do not stop when the need to expires. The plaintiff's reversionary interests are still being blocked.
By what? So, what's blocking them at that point? After the need to expires, what's blocking them?
It's the preemption of the state law reversionary rights. It's actually the state law abandonment occurred during the pendency of the need to. And at that point in time, any continuing jurisdiction...
I understand that it's the revision of the state rights that's being blocked, but it's the need to that's blocking that revision. Now, if the need to is no longer valid because it's expired, then why does that block continue?
Because it sets in motion the right to intervene in state rights. interstate property laws. That's the definition or the linchpin of a taking under all takings jurisprudence. So, for example, I think it basically goes back to what this court said back in the Hindler case in 1992. All takings, in a sense, are temporary because the government can later change their mind. Here, the railroad can later change their mind. It's basically permanent until it becomes temporary. And in fact, in
Counsel, let's get back to the question of causation. Under the Kaplan case, NITU does not affect a taking if the railroad would not have abandoned its line during the period of the NITU, and it didn't abandon it here. Isn't that right?
They did not consummate federal law abandonment during the pendency of the NITU. That's correct.
So there's no causation. And it's no longer a question of how long the taking occurred. There was no taking.
Well, the taking occurs when the NITU is issued, and the standard would have abandoned during the pendency of the NITU goes to intent to abandon. That's basically the essence. And the most important line in Judge Toronto's opinion in Kaplan 2 was, when they start talking about the consummation of abandonment, was he said it's immaterial that the abandonment did not occur during the pendency of the NITU, because that does not impact whether a taking actually occurred or not. The ultimate upshot of that is that it's the railroad's intent to abandon at the time of the NITU that causes the taking and blocks the landowner's reversionary rights. Here, the situation is where, and they looked at all kinds of evidence. They looked at events that occurred before the NITU, during the NITU, and after the NITU, and concluded that the railroad intended to abandon during the pendency of the NITU. Not that there was actual abandonment during the pendency of the NITU. In fact, the consummation of abandonment is not even the test. The ultimate consummation of abandonment, if it occurs, goes to the duration of the taking, not whether a taking occurred. Here, the evidence of causation is even much more substantial based on this record after an 8-day jury trial for a variety of reasons. First, Judge Toronto left for another occasion fact situations that could arise. This is one of those occasions where, in every case, in order for the railroad to even be able to get a NITU issued, every railroad must come in and state their affirmative intent to abandon, that they have not used it for a period of time. Here, they basically did not use it for any railroad purposes for 18 years. Here, the blocking of the reversionary interest lasted for a minimum of 30 months instead of 6 months in Kaplan.
Counsel, please be alert to comments from the bench. You wanted to save some rebuttal time. You're well into it. Do you wish to continue?
Yes, Your Honor, I apologize. I just make one other point on causation. The issue is that state law abandonment happened in this case during the pendency of the NITU, and most importantly, because of the trial, we have reams of testimony from the railroad itself that they intended to abandon during the pendency of the NITU and even after the NITU expired. And so thus the blocking of the plaintiff's reversionary rights continued. I will reserve the rest of my time, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Halainen, if I pronounced it correctly.
Halainen, Your Honor. Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the Court, Daniel Halainen for the United States. The question before the Court today in the United States' cross-appeal is whether the railroad's decision not to abandon its line can result in a physical taking by the United States requiring just compensation. And the answer to that question has to be no. We think the CFC reached a contrary conclusion by misapplying the court's decision from 2020 in Kaplan versus United States. So we respectfully ask the court to reverse the CFC's legal error and conclude that there was no taking in this case.
Wasn't that a question of fact on causation that the claims court decided?
We think that there's a purely legal issue of whether a NITU that does not result in either a trail use agreement or a delay in the termination of easements could result in a taking, because a physical taking requires an intrusion by the government. And second, we think it's a purely legal question whether the facts found by the CFC support the conclusion that there is a legal causation in this case. And on both grounds, we think the CFC erred.
So, Mr. Linen, you don't challenge the fact findings of the Court of Federal Claims, correct? You don't say they're clearly erroneous. What you're saying, as I understand it, is that they're not clearly erroneous. We don't challenge them, but as a matter of law, they don't support the determination that there was a taking, because they don't support the determination that there was causation.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. We have not identified clear error that we're urging this court to reverse, but we think that as a matter of law, the facts found by the CFC do not support causation. And we think in a situation where the railroad ultimately chooses not to abandon, there simply can never be causation or a physical taking on that kind of set of facts. And that's because...
Is that how you would distinguish the Coquelin case? Because there, the railroad said, no, we don't want to go down the road anymore with this this negotiation process. We don't want to extend past, I guess it was December 30th of 2013. We want to abandon. Is that how you distinguish that case?
So in Coquelin, the railroad made a determination to abandon, and then the court could look at the decision to abandon, the point where the railroad actually abandoned, and compare that to a hypothetical situation where the railroad would have abandoned earlier. And the taking, as the court explained in Coquelin, lies in the difference between those two. The way that the court conceived of the taking in Coquelin is that, this is a quote, the government action compelled continuation of an easement for a time. And here we can't say that because the railroad ultimately chose not to abandon. So I think that is the crucial distinction, is that after the NITU expired in 2013, the railroad had total discretion to choose whether or not it wanted to consummate abandonment or not. And it declined to do so, and indeed did not end up going forward with abandonment until 2021. So on that set of facts, it can't be the case that the NITU here compelled the continuation of any easement, because the easements were the same before and after this entire process. Before, the railroad requested abandonment authority in 2010, and after that authority expired in 2014. There's still no change.
Excuse me, let me ask you one other question. Your backup argument is that if we conclude that there was a taking, we should affirm the Court of Federal Claims. However, we should change the period. In other words, the Court of Federal Claims said the taking ended on January 7th, 2014. You're saying we should stop at November 8th of 2013, correct?
That's correct, Jordan.
Why would the taking, if that's the case, why would the taking not end at the conclusion of the first six-month NITU period, which would be shorter than that? In other words, the NITU was issued, what, May 23rd, 2011? And it was due to expire 6 months after that in the normal course. But then the railroad and, I guess, the potential trails provider extended it by agreeing to extensions. Why did it not end, the period not end, 6 months after May 23rd, 2011, because that was when, after that, everything was at the option of the railroad.
Your Honor, we would absolutely welcome that.
Pardon?
Your Honor, we would absolutely welcome that sort of conclusion.
I'm sure you would, but why didn't you urge it in your brief?
So I think the way that we've constructed our argument here is based on the duration of the NITU, because We think, you know, the entire NITU process was voluntary, which is why there was no taking to begin with. I think it would be certainly appropriate for the court to conclude that the railroad's agreement to the extension after the initial 180 days concluded any taking, if there were indeed a taking. So we would certainly welcome that conclusion, and we think it would be appropriate. We've urged more limited conclusion, only because we think the entire NITU process was entirely voluntary. But again, we would certainly welcome that conclusion from the court. I would just take maybe a second to clarify a little bit about the sequence of events in response to some of the arguments so far today. I think, of course, the court is very familiar from the briefing with the timeline, but I just wanted to make clear that when the STB granted abandonment, when the railroad filed its exemption notice, initially requesting abandonment authority, I think it was maybe said earlier that the board granted abandonment authority in response to that notice. What the board did was say that the railroad would have abandonment authority subject to something like a request for a NITU. So that's what happened here. In November, a trail sponsor came forward and expressed interest in negotiating a trail use agreement. The railroad agreed. So the railroad actually agreed not to exercise that abandonment authority of its own volition before it would have taken effect.
So is it your position, Mr. Lyman, that there can never be a taking if we have a situation like we did here where the railroad seeks an exemption, the exemption request is granted subject to a potential trail provider coming in, the potential trail provider comes in, and the railroad then enters into discussions, and we go from there. You're saying that in that scenario, there could never be a temporary categorical taking. Is that correct?
So I have two responses to that, Your Honor. First, as we've explained in our briefs, the United States reserves the argument that LAD and that line of cases was wrongly decided in the first place. So it is our view that the initial agreement to a NITU would vitiate any argument that there's a physical taking. But recognizing that Kaplan concluded that there could be a taking, we think that at least in this circumstance where you see repeated voluntary agreements to extensions and an ultimate decision not to consummate abandonment, that certainly cannot be a physical taking, notwithstanding what the court concluded in Kaplan, where there was agreement to an initial NITU and the court subsequently found a taking. I would also just note that in Kaplan, of course, the court recognized this causation standard in a way that hadn't been examined previously. And in that case, the parties in the CFC did not develop a full record on this causation question. And the Federal Circuit, this court, made a causation conclusion based on the record before it. So we think that this case is just distinguishable from that on a number of different grounds. I guess one last point then, is I wanted to clarify that the Kaplan standard does not hinge on the intent of the railroad. I think intent itself cannot constitute a taking. What this court said in Kaplan is that there has to be a compelled continuation of easement based on a conclusion that the railroad would have abandoned during the period of the NITU. We don't have that kind of evidence here, but even if we did, there would not be a taking because the railroad ultimately chose not to exercise the authority to abandon when it had that authority. I'm happy to answer any other questions from the court, but otherwise I'll reserve my time.
We will reserve your remaining time for your cross-appeal if there's something to respond to.
Thank you very much.
In the meantime, let's hear from Mr. Stewart.
Unmuted. Can you hear me now, Your Honor?
We can.
Okay, I'm sorry, Your Honor. It's interesting to note how the government's arguments have changed over time, because initially in the realm of temporary take cases, they always said that there was no such thing. You had to have a trail use agreement. And then they said, well, even if you can have a temporary take, the analysis had to be a regulatory versus physical taking or even a multi-factor test. And when that was shot down, now they're evolved into there's no causation test unless there's a consummation of abandonment. That ignores the intent to abandon, which is exactly what Judge Toronto said in Kaplan 2. And they finally basically admitted that all they're really trying to do is overrule the precedent all the way back from 1996 and Friso 2 through Caldwell, Barkley, Illigan, Ladd. It's not the consummation of abandonment. That's not the test. The consummation of abandonment basically is a federal law concept invoked by the regulation and has nothing to do with the reason there's a taking, which is the blocking of the reversionary rights. And it's not a continuation of the easement either. This is basically an argument that they dusted off all the way back to 1990 when they argued in front of the Supreme Court. And it basically goes, well, you didn't have anything before, so you didn't lose anything. And that is contrary to what Judge Rinkwa said, and also contrary to what Judge Moore said.
Counsel, please do not talk through the bench. Where in Kaplan is intent indicated as a requirement, or relevant?
Your Honor, they say repeatedly in there that they would have abandoned during the pendency of the need to. Not that they did. And that is basically the same thing as intent, because, and that's exactly what the CFC found when it was remanded back in this case, because they said the actual consummation of abandonment, Judge Toronto specifically said, the precise timing of consummation of abandonment is immaterial to liability if abandonment would have occurred during the need to period. In other words, it goes to their intent to abandon and not the actual consummation of abandonment.
But what would have occurred is based on judgment of facts rather than imputation of intent.
It is a finding of their intent, which is a finding of fact, as Judge Sweeney did under the... It's actually a mixed question of fact and law in this instance.
All right. Thank you.
Finally, Your Honor, I'll just say that the federal government on the duration, the federal government maintains jurisdiction until the railroad actually ultimately consummates abandonment. And once state law abandonment has occurred, the duration of the taking is continued. It's just like Judge Roberts said recently in Cedar Point Nursery and Nick, the bank robber can ultimately decide to return the money, but he's still guilty of robbing the bank. And under these circumstances, these landowners could not make any productive use of their land for a 10-year period of time after the need to is issued, and that's the duration of the taking.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear from Mr. Kalainen on rebuttal on the cross appeal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just one brief point. The government's position in this case is not inconsistent with the court's prior decisions in cases like Purcell. In Kaplan itself, the court considered whether the announcement or the recognition of a causation standard was consistent with the court's past decisions and concluded that it was. So all we're asking the court to do in this case is to simply make effective the standard that the court announced in Kaplan and conclude that there was no causation. The court does not need to examine broader questions of the court's doctrine in this area, but simply apply Kaplan to this scenario, which the court did not resolve in that case. And for that reason, we'd ask the court to find that there is no taking in the cross appeal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under submission.